Before we get started with today's show, I wanted to tell you about another great podcast, Bald Men on Campus, an ESPN podcast hosted by Jay Billis, LaPhonso Ellis, and Seth Greenberg. These ESPN basketball personalities give you an all-access pass inside the world of college basketball, talking to the biggest names in the sport. That's Bald Men on Campus. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Also, NBA Today, hosted by Malika Andrews, offers exclusive content Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Alongside Malika, there will be a full cast of NBA experts and insiders, including Kendrick Perkins, Chinne Agumake, Vince Carter, Zach Lowe, Woj, Ramona Shelburne, and many of our NBA reporters from around the league. Get caught up with the latest from around the NBA on NBA Today on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. And also available as a podcast. Listen to NBA Today wherever you get your podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. This is the episode where we have guests join us typically, and normally I like to do an interview, you know, so you can get to know some people, hear me hanging with the homies, but it is a very special, shameless self-promotion episode of The Right Time. It's Game Theory with Bomani Jones premieres on March the 13th. March the 13th. Check us out. We coming on after John Oliver. And so I figured that a lot of you guys would want to know, like, what was going on, what the show was going to be like. And so I figured I'd have a couple people work on the show, come join us. One of them is like an old friend. Y'all know him, even if I ain't had him on here for you to know him. Another one is an older friend from me that you may know from other places. But basically, I figured if we're going to tell you what the show is about, I might as well get my folks on here to talk about it. So on one side, we got the homie Rod. Rod and Charlotte from The Morning Jones, the black guy who tips. He is writing on the show with us. And we got my little brother James over here, James Davis. You may have seen him on Comedy Central's Hooded Jason, his one-hour Comedy Central special. He's working as an executive producer on this one. And I ain't gonna lie, the big part of why I wanted you two to be here to join is because we all go way back, right? Like, we got different stories. Like, Rod, you can tell them what our story is.
Yeah. So, first of all, honor to be here. Pleasure to be here. First time, long time, you know, all that stuff. But, yeah, we go all the way back to, like, kids. I don't know if y'all have these anymore, but it's called message boards. And I posted a joke on there about the Warriors with Baron Davis and Stack Jack. They look like they would come to the Y, steal your run, take your necks. And then when you'd be like, hey, well, can I get on with y'all? They'd be like, we got our 5. Bo mentioned that in a column he had on Page 2. That's another thing the kids might not know about anymore. But from that point on, you know, I was like, oh, let me see what this brother's about. And, you know, I just became a big fan of, at that time, I believe it was the long lunch break.
3-hour lunch break, dog.
In Raleigh at the time. And just followed his moves all the way throughout that and, you know, became good friends and all that stuff. So, yeah, man, it's, feel like it's funny. A long time ago, he told me, like, man, you know, you should probably, like, write for TV. And I was like, all right, that, you know, it's nice. It's very nice of you to say that. But he was right. I was wrong. I didn't know.
Nah, man, I think it's like 10, 11 years ago, I came to y'all spot in Charlotte, you and Karen, to go to do the podcast and just pull up. Because, like, especially The Morning Jones, where it wasn't like we knew each other, like we all knew each other, right? Like, I don't know how many people listened to the show exactly, but if it was only like the 50 or so people that we created a circle with, we was kicking it in that 50.
Bruh, it was crazy just because, I mean, we still had that picture that we took after the podcast in the old apartment. And then years later in Miami, we saw Bo during this conference. And it's like looking at that picture 10 years apart, we just like, yo, I think I've been knowing this brother. I'm getting old. I know this brother a long time.
Yeah, man. Hey, you want to talk about you feeling old? I've known James for literally more than half his life.
Wow. Yeah, literally. I've known Bo since I was 17 years old. I was a freshman at Pomona College, a very predominantly white liberal arts college. And Bo was starting his first year graduate school at the Claremont. What is it called?
It's the Claremont Colleges. It's a consortium.
But yours was a Claremont graduate school. Either way,
yes.
I'm a young black dude from LA, and I mean, literally, I feel like God blessed Bomani in my life that freshman year just to make sure that I remained a solid, you know, upstanding black man, because it's a cesspool of privilege and whiteness, and it's a great school, but like Bo was literally my big brother from day one, and like I'm saying, put me on to the music that as a black man I shouldn't be telling people I haven't listened to. Movies that as a just general human being I hadn't listened to. And he was like, well, you're gonna sit down and you're gonna watch these movies, so you're gonna watch all the Godfathers tonight. Like literally just big brother energy, cultural advisor. He was the first person I told I was dropping out of college. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just been in my corner my entire career, my entire journey. So, like, for this situation, it's only right. And I was going to be helping on this show. I told him whether or not I was EP or just the brother on the side of the set. Like, let me highlight you for a second. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was going to be involved.
No, like I tell people, it's great, because when you told me that you were going to drop out of school to go do comedy, I was like, hey, that's an interesting plan you got there, buddy. but I always say, I've always been glad I never told you not to do it. I was just like, I still think you might want a fallback plan, but I never told you not to do it. Right. And thank goodness I never did, because I need you now, dog. And so I wanted people to hear that just to point out, like, so you know what's kind of going on with this show. Like, for me, it feels like relationships that I've built and respect that I've earned over a course of literally two decades is all coming together now. And we're putting a whole TV show together around it. Because, like, people ask me, they're like, yo, man, what's this show going to be like? And I remember, Rod, when you did your call with us, I didn't just say put my homeboy on. Like, Rod made it through this process that was hundreds of people that got whittled down. And then Rod came out. And I was like, so you're like, what's the show going to be like? And you were the first person I talked to that I could just easily say. And I was like, oh, we're going to put the Morning Jones on TV, right? Yeah. Like that's what we're going to do. And it was like, oh, okay. You're like, yeah, that's what it is. So, like, we've been here, and me and James, I guess we've been working on this project now over, like, coming up on a year, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, about March of last year, but we really got in gear in November, and we were like, okay, let's start figuring out this creative stuff. Like, let's figure out what we want this show to look like. And we figured out we wanted to look like me, you know what I'm saying? Like, we wanted, like, take the vibes and, like, things we do on this podcast. Like, this has been a template for a lot of people to try to figure out my voice as we do this. How do we take the stuff we do here, but put it in, like, 3D? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like it's no longer on a flat canvas. We can put it in the Z space now. We got, like, and Rod, this is, you probably like me, this is the part that blows my mind. We just, like, cook up an idea, and then next thing you know, there's people that actually can do it.
It's honestly, dude, it's the most mind-blowing thing about this process is having jokes and ideas and thoughts, and then seeing the coordination that is a team of people dedicated to making this silly come true. You know what I mean? It's just like, what if we did this? And there's just like a person somewhere in this building that's like, you actually can do that. And legally, I'm going to tell you how to say it and how to do it. And that, wait till people see it, man. It's coming out. We are making TV. I still expect someone to knock on this door at any moment and be like, come with me. You know, you're not supposed to be in here. Okay. This is for real serious individuals that make TV. And I'm like, I just snuck in and they gave me this badge. So yeah, man, it's been amazing to be a part of a unit that's making something that I think is going to be different than everything else.
Nah, man, like, me and James were on the phone in November talking about something that's going to be in our first episode, right? It's going to be there. And it really was first thing off the top of your head. What if we ...
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward 3 months, Rod is on the team that is putting that idea together. Fast forward to like 10 days ago, we are at a spot. The whole thing has come to life, right? We got this whole room that's totally set up as we doing it. And I look over at Rod, and Rod just sitting over there looking like this. Just like head shaking, gritted. And I'm the same way, right? Like, I pulled up with my brother and we just like, yo, this is really happening.
And happening at a level better than we even knew could happen.
Right.
But that's what I think is happening on all levels of the show, is that we have an idea, and as we execute it, it's coming out not just how we envisioned it, but even better. Like, I can only explain with two different situations. This show reminds me of the Late Late Show with James Corden when I started that show. I had a difficult time because it's this British dude, and he brought his best friend, EP, and he's got his people from all his stuff that he did in London or whatever, and he's brought them to this show. And I was like, dang, like, I really feel like I can't really get my influence into the show. Like, they really feel like they know what they want to do. And it was frustrating for me. But now we're James Corden and his people. And it's like, we're bringing what you did for Morning Jones. We're bringing the best of what you've already done to the situation. And that's why James Corden's show is a hit. And that's why this show is going to be a hit, is because they just protected the essence of what James Corden did well. And like me and Rod and the team you've built, we're protecting the essence of what you do really well. If you ain't on Bomani Jones, you're going to get pushed to the outside, because it's a strong force of like all about getting the best of Bomani on TV. And HBO is a perfect place because they don't give crazy. Like, Rod, I'm glad this is your first show and not some Comedy Central. Some other show were like giving you a bunch of notes. Like this show, like Bomani runs the show. Like the head of the snake is Bomani, and that's what you'll feel in this show. It won't feel like there was a bunch of people that made Bomani say a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
Oh, Bomani was behind every single second of this show.
Yeah, because that was a key thing for me when we started this, and that I needed everybody to understand that would be different for me versus other people. Like the person that was originally placed with this show, for example, which is people gonna know if it ain't me, right? Like the people who follow me, I've been doing this for long enough and people have a familiarity, and those are the most important people, right? Like day ones are the most important. Then we start branching out from there. But if the people who rock with you the most come across it and they're like, yo, this ain't even what I was about, that ain't gonna work. And so I applaud all the writers, because I know this ain't easy, where it's like, yo, yeah, this great thing that works, but it don't fit the dude. So we either gonna have to change it up or like it's gonna wind up hitting the ground. And like the team, the writing team is broad and strong, right? Like we got Morgan Murphy, who's worked on a whole lot of very successful shows. Modern Family is an example that jumps to mind, like a bunch of those. She's done that. We got my man Tommy Craggs, used to be the editor-in-chief at Deadspin, and is like one of the best commentators that I can think of. So when it's time for us to like break out the big guns on something heavy, we got him too, because it ain't just all yucks, 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 right? Because that ain't all what I am. So we got those guys. We got Zach Rice. Zach Rice was signed up to write for the White House Correspondents' Dinner the year that the cooties decided to shut that down. Sidney Castillo.
Head writer.
Right, right. Say Sidney Castillo, who has worked with Cedric the Entertainer, worked with Marlon Wayans, worked with a whole bunch of other, you know, a whole bunch of other folks. Greg Iwinski, who's worked with John Oliver on Last Week Tonight. He worked with Stephen Colbert on The Late Show. We got a squad. Like I tell people, our footage producer got a JD from UCLA and he's hilarious. That's why we let him bring his dog to work every day.
He does. It's here. Yeah, right now.
That's the other thing that's been eye-opening about the experience, is seeing like how everybody is collaborative and everybody's bringing something to it, and everybody's kind of funny. It's like, you might be thinking, like, I'm writing something. I'm like, oh, I'm going to kill him when we get to this meeting. And you get in the meeting and like a lawyer's like, yo, what if you say this? You like, you right. That's good too.
Right. Oh, I almost forgot my man Stu. Stu Miller running the show. Stu was the field coordinator for The Daily Show for 15 years. He worked on the last Borat movie. All of this stuff. Like this has been fun. Like, I think that's been the thing for me. Like, I walked in that first time that we had, like, a meeting with everybody. Like, it's one thing you do to all hands, and I got to come in there. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. Have either of y'all watched any of Super Pumped on Showtime about Travis Kalanick, the Uber dude?
That's with the Gordon Levitt, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty good, but, like, I was watching the second episode, and he's on stage, and it's one of those, like, tech bro conventions where everybody's there and they give the rousing speech that lets you know that this is some bullshit, right? Like, you know this is a con, you know this is a cult just because of the way he's doing it. And he's out there like, you gotta be super pumped all the time. And I was like, is that what I was supposed to do in that first meeting? Because I ain't never like been in charge or nothing like that. Had 20 people looking back at me. I kept it brief. I handed that off and we kept it moving. But the first time that we sat down in there and I was like running a meeting, which is something that I had never done, where it's like, okay, this is the topic that we're talking about. This is what I think. This is what I think. This is what I think. Here's how I want to make it happen. Boom, everybody goes. That was like, for me, like one of the best days of my life. I was like, damn, okay, that's how this goes. And then after that, Rod, you and Sid came in and we went through the schematics on the first field piece. And so I got somebody on Zoom, and it's wild because I'm looking around and everybody looking at me like, does he like it? Does he like it? I'm like, why y'all care if I, oh yeah, it does matter if I like it. You're correct.
You had a mask on because, you yes. know, we're trying not to catch this COVID. So you really, it was like a poker face over there. We was like, I mean, we thought it was funny, you know? And like every once in a while, Bo would hit you with like, that's good. That's and you're like, okay, cool. He sees the vision.
And I forget that I got a mask on because I'm over there making all kinds of faces and stuff, right? But can't nobody see it. And then at some point, like I got a text and I had to check my phone. It was like something I had to do at the time. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's like, oh no, he's going to his phone. Right? It's a whole nother situation.
It's like, yo, I don't think he's feeling it, guys. He's checking Twitter in the middle of this meeting. It's like, but it was dope. And I think even then it was conceptual. But seeing that there are people who actually go places and make this stuff happen and then seeing it in person, that was a whole nother like high. And then watching James do his thing, you know, it's like inside I'm just feeling like, yo, I wrote this. You know what I mean? Like I like that vibe of like he killing it more than I thought. Like I didn't even think of this part. Like, so it was seeing all that stuff has really been like super dope.
With James, like big brother, little brother, like I've been calling James my little brother for 20 years. Like I legitimately mean that. And it's wild because we had just kind of lost touch at some point. Wasn't nothing on purpose. But when people live three time zones away, man, it's hard to maintain communication. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a tricky one. And so in 2013, it was just after I had moved to Miami. And I came up to Atlanta for my homeboy's bachelor party. And we was over there by the Greyhound station. And I'm in the parking lot. And I look up and I'm like, James! and so after that, like, we got back in touch. Like, you was coming doing shows in Miami. You come down, stay with me. You know, we caught up in L.A. You got your TV show, and you had me on two different episodes to come down and do something for that. And, like, now we here doing this, right?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I actually found out in the media thing yesterday, because I did all the interviews yesterday, that they gonna send out bios about what's on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, can we start telling people like some of the stuff that's on the first show? Not all of it, but some of it.
I mean, I don't want to do it. We'll just be like rappers and just be like, man, when this first episode drops. I mean, that's on you.
Here's what I feel like though. I feel like we should at least tell them about what the interview is and a little bit about the main topic.
I don't want to get in trouble, man. I don't know the protocol on this.
Okay, I don't either. I will tell you this about the interview in the first episode, right? I was like obviously physically there doing it, right? So I'm in it. I don't necessarily know how it's going. The guest walked in. We dapped up. He was already mic'd up, right? He sat down and we just sat down for a straight hour on some like real talk. Like, I'm looking around the room a little bit while he's talking, and everybody that's in there, and keep in mind, when I say everybody that's in there, don't everybody in there give a damn about what's actually on the show, right? Some people just out here working, right? Like, okay, I'm getting paid about an hour, but like the woman who did my makeup, you know what I'm saying? The barber, everybody is just enthralled, right? Then I get back and I look at the cut of it. Man, it looked like a Hennessy commercial. And I mean that in a good way. Like, I want like a Hennessy commercial, not like, yeah, you know, drinking Hennessy out of bag. I mean, like the actual commercials, like it came out so cold. And then our final big thing that the episode is built around, it's a Selection Sunday theme that's in line with something that we did earlier this week on this podcast. And Rod was one of the co-writers of that one. I think you people know, if you follow me, I don't gas my own stuff up, right? I don't know what episode 2 gonna be hitting on, but episode 1 about to be that fire.
Yeah, they say start with a bang. Like, this is a Mike Breen bang first episode. Like, I'll say, as someone who's had his own show, and I mean, Bo will tell you, everything that I learned from my experience, I've tried to, all the challenges, all the microaggressions that happen in this industry, we've tried to stay ahead of them. And I feel like we have. It's great because, like, I'm going to say some stuff real. I'm going to talk. Can I talk my stuff real quick?
You got it, man. You got it, man.
Talk it, brother.
There's certain elements of this first episode where you're like, okay, I'm watching late night. I'm watching a sports show, but I'm getting the energy of, like, and in Living Color, a Chappelle. And I'm not saying that, like, we got sketches or, but this, the energy when you watching something that you feel is for you. You know, there's a certain energy when you watching the show where you like, oh, this is good TV. Like, when I can watch Succession, I can watch The Yellow Jackets, I can watch shows and be like, this is good TV. Like, the people made good TV, and as an audience, I'm entertained. But then when you watch certain shows, maybe it's a Desus and Miro, maybe it's a, just certain shows make you feel like they making it for you. And I feel like this show at every turn is like aggressively for who it's for. Yeah. And everyone else will enjoy it, but it's aggressively for, like, people gonna be like, they gonna try to dap up their TV. Yeah. They gonna try to give a high five to a LD screen.
But you know what the level of it's gonna be though? And Rod, you'll definitely be able to speak to this. And what folks don't get is, while doing that, who the people are who dap up the screen is always way broader than people understand. It's gonna be some homies. Like, I used to love when we do radio remotes to see who the people were that showed up and be like, oh damn, you rocking with this? Man, Bubba, I didn't realize that, you know, that this was necessarily your bag, right? Like Rod can tell you, like, when I'm, you know, in the podcast, it's hard to get that back and forth, obviously, because it's not live. But when I was doing that show in North Carolina at first, you know, a few feathers was ruffled. Then after a while, Bo Monty, what's going on, man? Yeah. You know?
Hey, it takes all kinds, man. And I think that's the other thing, too, is that the more insular, the more family, the people that make this, I feel like the more universal it becomes. You know what I mean? So, like, people will be attracted to the fact that it's human and the fact that it's real and the fact that it's unique. You know, I think that's the key that's important in making sure that it has your voice. And that is not insert talk show host here. So when they see that Hennessy commercial, the one that look like it's voiced over by Nas interview, they gonna be like, oh yeah, I can't get this content anywhere else. And I think that's really been the key to all the Bomani success and every iteration on whether TV, radio, podcast, or whatever. It's always been like, yo, you're not gonna hear this nowhere else. You know, I'm happy to be a part of it just so we can do that on HBO, you know what I'm saying?
And Rod got the HBO t-shirt on right now. And we got them around the office. Ain't nobody even told me about that. I got to send those to my daddy. I guess he don't go nowhere no more because of the cooties. But my daddy, apparently, his barbershop fit was an Around the Horn t-shirt. He walked in there every time like, yeah, you ain't even got this. You know what I'm saying? I got to keep my people decked.
We need some merch for sure. We definitely need some merch.
And like one thing that's also going to be cool about this is we got room for like legitimate satire. Because I think that people just use the term satire to write off when they want to be an ass. You know what I mean? But like a lot of what we're going to do is kind of some meta stuff where the show is going to provide a satirical way to look at coverage. Like not just the sports. You know what I mean? Like, we ain't gonna be no like breaking down the game. That's not gonna be this type of show. But we're not gonna get so far afield that we're not actually talking about sports or the games that we talk about. Like, it's important that everybody remember, people watch sports because they love them. And so we're getting into those spaces and we're gonna be there. It's kind of emotional for me, like the total of it. Not just enjoying the show itself and enjoying that bomb office that your boy got over there in the corner.
What? Because if y'all think this is something, boy. Bomani got a townhouse in here.
I got dog. I got a view, baby, and a shower.
You got a PS5 somewhere around here. I mean, this is different. We living. Living for the city.
We are living. Like, we got all these things that are going on, and not just have we been able to, like, put together a team, and for me, and you guys can tell me if I'm going too far, but I don't think this is true, we got a lot of people working on this show, not just because they want to work at HBO or because they need a job, but they heard about this show and they wanted to work on this show, right? Like people who'd be like, I don't know if I would do this, except this is the thing that we doing, you know?
There's a lot of people that wanted to work on the show and they let me know all the time. Like, oh, you got that? Like, so it's like, I think this was a big draw because you know, when I was getting interviewed by the GQ guy or whatever, he was even like, brother, do you know what this is for your first show to be this show? I was just like, I've been working for myself for so long. No, but this, I mean, it's so fun. It's so dope. He's like, brother, you just don't know how hard it is. So I'm just very thankful to be here. You know what I mean?
Well, I tell you one funny thing that you may not know that had come up at some point in the process was somebody had brought up like, but man, he hasn't written professionally anywhere before. And I was like, so? Like, that ain't gonna be the holdup. I saw what he wrote as an amateur to send in for this. That wasn't gonna be the holdup.
I mean, that's the thing. I appreciate that because I've been told many years, like, yo, you could do this if you wanted to. The real, not the flex or whatever, but the real thing is, I wouldn't have done it for anybody else. That's the real truth, which is like, I was not coming out my house. I'm in another city in another state. I didn't do nothing for 2 years in the pandemic because I was like, this is fine. Let's just do this. I'm making money, I'm living. And so if Bo said, yo, let's do this, then I'm like, for you, popping on the plane, we doing this thing.
I was actually surprised. Like, I was actually, and James could tell you, I was like, man, maybe we're going to need to come up with a hybrid plan. Like, I was like, oh, you coming? Oh, great. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you did, because the environment, you know, because I'm scared of catching this shit too. The environment, though, of everybody being in the same place has just been so great. Like, I've never worked on anything that was, like, this collaborative. And like, James, you're the vet in this, so you know how this compares to like other things and other shows. And so me and Raj is over here like, I guess we do it all right.
Yeah, I'm in awe of just the freedom and the fact of there's not so many outside forces that are trying to like muddle or water down what you want to talk about. It's literally you say what you want to talk about, and then that whole room disperses. Their only mission is to make what you said come to fruition. Not like, well, I don't know about this. And what I really like about this show is fearless. We don't sit and have conversations worrying about who may or may not understand or who might possibly get rubbed the wrong way. It's like, we ain't worrying about that. We worrying about what needs to be said.
Right. I haven't had a single conversation with anybody at HBO about what success is or how many people watch this. I don't know how many people watch any of these damn shows. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not where we're looking right now. Like, we're looking at, let's make a show that's as dope to the people that we respect as it possibly can be. And to the people that, honestly, the people that we've been true to up to this point have gotten us to where we are. Now, I want to mention something right quick before we start wrapping this up. Ryan wasn't around for this, but one of the cooler things about doing this show is we shot the pilot at the same studio where Chappelle shot a bunch of that stuff, right? The original 106 in Park Studio, like the one that's over there. Like when we would be in that room, I'd look around and be like, oh, that's where they shot Rick James. Like you could just kind of tell, you just kind of got that vibe. And so that's when I lived a little closer to that part of town. So I'll never forget the night before we shot the pilot, James had flown in that morning and we went over to the crib and we broke out computers and we took out a script and we're like, all right, let's punch this thing up. And we're just bouncing back and forth. Like, yo, what you think about this part? Yo, what you think about that part? Bye, bye, bye. We got that right. And then I just remember the next day I woke up, the sun was shining. I could walk over to where the spot was. And it was just like, yo, we about to shoot a TV pilot. And made that stroll. And we went in there. And HBO wasn't sure about me. And I don't blame them. Because somebody had just come to them and been like, yo, we got this super smart guy to do Bob Costas' show. And then they come back and like, yo, we've got this guy to do your funny show. And they're like, what, the super serious guy? Right? Like it totally made sense. They weren't sure. And so they came in like, okay, let's see what we got going. And I sat down and I did that stuff for that pilot. And you can ask James if I'm lying. We ain't had to sell them on me since.
That's been the best blessing of this entire situation is that HBO is sold on you. That's who they were sold on after the pilot, not the structure or really anything outside of Bomani. So now as we move forward, that's the priority, even from HBO. It's like, how do we make Bomani Bomani? How can we empower Bomani to be Bomani? Not how do we make a show that feels like this show or how do we compete with these other shows? None of that. It's just like the only person we are concerned about is Bomani. And that just makes, you know, me and Raj's job so much easier because it's like, hey, I hear what you're saying, but remember the mission.
I can't wait because we've been seeing the stuff behind the scenes and I know we had a smoker when, look, it's been my dream to be on this podcast. So, Gabe, can you play the whole music over this later? But I knew we had a smoker. When that interview started and my man said, I'm that dude, bro. I'm that dude. I said, oh, the show's writing itself.
You ain't even got to put the whole music over that. That's it. But man, Game Theory, March 13th, HBO, HBO Max. Check that out. My man Rod, my man James, from the bottom of my heart, sincerely. Like, not just on this, but all the stuff that comes before it, man. Like, no, we are here. Like, we got this thing for real.
First episode of Banger. If you don't watch that first episode, you just don't like loving life. You'd rather be sad.
Stay up. It's the day that the tide spring forward. You won't even be tired. Stay awake.
Come on. Hang with us.
All right, man. Well, guys, we'll be right back. Oh! What's going on?
Hey, good morning, young fella. How's everything?
I'm good, man. Did you guys intentionally match with the color palette in the background, or did that just work out that way?
Well, half and half.
These are my parents, if you don't know. We just don't have random elderly black people jump on the show. Yeah, man, we got a TV show coming up.
Proud of you too, buddy. So happy for you.
Hey, man, I appreciate it.
You know, I listen every day when I do my walk, and I've learned so much about sports. I'm really looking forward to the Game Theory, and I'm very proud of you and really excited about this new experience.
Yeah, this Game Theory is going to be a breakthrough, man. This sounds like a very unique kind of program.
Nah, I appreciate it. Mama, I got to warn you, Gabe's not going to be on Game Theory to bleep out some of the cussing. I just feel like I should tell you that right now.
Well, don't forget, my friends will be listening to the show, and perhaps even some church members.
I know. I actually have had a couple of moments where I've had to be like, no, mama and her friends are going to be watching. We don't need to do it like that. Man, I don't even know what else to say, man. I'm just kind of taken aback. Like, this is a lot, man.
Yeah, I don't want to sound, you know, too vain, but I'm so proud of you, man. I mean, you come a long ways, man. You're doing good work. Proud of you, too.
Hey, man, look, I tell people, and this is, I think I talked to somebody about this in an interview the other day, that something that's real important for me is when I was in graduate school and it wasn't necessarily going that well, and then ultimately, you know, it ended not of my own choice. I was really worried that the ways that people had viewed me and had talked about me, that this would, like, that would change that. And, you know, I got PhD parents who kind of wanted somebody to get a PhD. And up to that point, I was the last hope, just like I'm the last hope on some other stuff. And I remember that I talked to you guys after I'd gotten the news, and we didn't even have no big, like, super, it's going to be okay, heart, you know. It was just like, all right, well, that happened. We're just going to keep on moving and doing something else. And I know a lot of people in their lives who can't be sure or aren't sure that in a time like that, that the people who cared about them the most are going to still be there in the exact same way. And one reason that nothing that's happened to me since has ever even been close to like damaging the confidence that I have is that for me was probably like felt like the lowest. And I still was able to come out of it with the same respect from the people whose opinions mattered the most that I had before. And so, like, when we talk about coming a long way, there's no way that the long way comes if I don't think I got that basic level of support that I don't even know if everybody, like, it may not sound like the biggest deal in the world, but there was, everybody still thought I was the same person. And I realized clearly in that moment that I was not going to be defined by how this other stuff went, right? Like, the people who care about you, and they think those things about you. And so a big part of being here and part of like doing this show is fun is I got no fear of it, quote unquote, not doing well or anything like that, because even if it doesn't by somebody else's standard, I know I still got you, and I know that in vice versa. And I thank you for that.
Well, we love you, darling.
I appreciate that.
And you've always been a winner, buddy. Always will be a winner. Even in Little League, man.
Hey, I was pretty good in Little League. just so people know, I was actually pretty good in Little League. I don't know how good I was at that other stuff, but I had Little League under control. All right. Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this three times a week, Gabe Bassane and Audi Khan handling things behind the scenes. Thank you, gentlemen. Check out Game Theory with Bomani Jones, March 13th, HBO and HBO Max. Sorry, just got a little emotionally here with all this.
I'm looking forward to it.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater, and we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.